Philippians 4, verse 4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Eric, can you hear me? Okay, so third service today, and the candle represents
joy.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. There's several commands in the Bible. One of the verses is, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Double command. It's not just a single command, it's a double command there. We're going to explore joy this morning. And I've got a real expectation that God is going to move amongst us and lead you into a fresh joy this morning. As Long Community Church, we're going to focus on joy next year as our verse, our memory verse. And I'm really excited about that because I think it's going to be a big year. It's a fundamental part of our Christian walk. So I'm really excited about that. I'm sure the other three are as well.
Yes.
So Nehemiah 8:10 is our verse that we're going to do. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So, what's joy? Joy is something much deeper, richer, more stable, and definitely more accessible than you might have thought. This is the beauty that God offers us today as a present. Present here. Are we going to accept this gift that he gives? So what's the definition of joy in the world? Joy.
Hold up.
No, okay.
The rashes are gone. Making a noise.
Okay. I'll carry on. Joy, yeah, definition. No, that's the next one. Gone too far.
Yeah, there we go.
This is the definition of the world view of joy. Feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Tears of joy are often mentioned. Pleasure, joyfulness, jubilation, glee. But the hope in the world is not eternal hope. It's just for now. So, how do we see joy from a Christ follower?
Yes.
So, I've been reading a book. I discovered this book from a lady called Kay Warren. She's the wife of Rick Warren. Do you know Rick Warren? Yeah. It's a fantastic book. I heard the sermon, it was recommended there, and I got it on my iPad. And I'm not a book reader, but I'm 77% through. So it's a very good book, and I highly encourage you to read it. But this is the definition of joy in there, and it speaks volumes. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of every detail of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything will be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in all things. I think that's quite powerful. Joy is not just when things are going well. Jesus endured the cross for the joy ahead. It says in Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and therefore run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross for the joy ahead. He knew what the joy was ahead, and he endured that cross. He could see beyond the pain which was there, and gave us a good example of how we can live. He would be with his Father, ultimately, and all of us can be reconciled with God through his death, his victory. Every trial we face, we can remember to choose joy, despite the pain. Do you have a weighty mountain, something weighing you down? Joy can help you to overcome that mountain. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us gifts, and joy was the second one in the spiritual gifts. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Isaiah 61, verse 1-3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good tidings. Anoint with gladness instead of sorrow. Wrap in victory. Joy and praise instead of depression and sadness. You can't pass on what you don't have. So if you're not living in it, it's very difficult to pass on to others. We need to experience it from God ourselves so we can give it away as well. It's always very important in our faith to receive as we receive gifts, and then also to give away. Joy is a choice. Life is full of choices. We choose to get up or stay in bed. I'm not looking at anyone. We choose to watch TV or read a book. We choose to accept Jesus or to reject him as Saviour. As I said, I'm reading this book of Kay Warren, and I'll read a bit later on. And the title is Choose Joy as Happiness is Not Enough. So joy is a choice. Choose to praise God, and joy comes in his presence as you're praising him. Wake up and choose joy. There's a scripture which says joy comes in the morning. I believe that's when we wake up and realise we need to accept joy. Look at that mountain that's in front of you with confidence in God. And joy is active. It's not passive. It requires us to do something and to take it and to accept the gift from God. We can proclaim joy over circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, not just rejoice on a Friday, rejoice every day. In Isaiah 61, verse 3, there's a lot of scripture in this sermon today, so we have to keep away. In Isaiah 61, 1-3, says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness. That gives a good example how we should live. Proclaiming good news to the poor, helping release people. Do you know someone who walks around with a spirit of despair? Have you come across people that in your life? I do it. Yeah, and I see some heads nodding as well. I've got some examples here. So we've got this black cloth. And when I was thinking about the sermon, this is something for ministry later on, but if anyone feels like you're walking around with a black cloth on you, we're going to pray. Invite you that we'll pray for you. And then prophetically, we'll help you to remove this black cloth and put on this red cloth, which is a symbol of what Jesus has done and how you can be. And you can leave that stuff behind. There's also some tinsel to go with that. It's powerful. We can live in that anointing. Joy is eternal. It's time to get joyful. Joy doesn't mean you always laugh. Praising God leads to joy. Then he's got another verse. Okay. Joy is a deep-rooted feeling that you feel secure, so that you are loved and accepted by God. So, let's look at happiness stroke joy for a moment. So, happiness, keys to happiness. There's 10 things there that the science says will make you happy. Smile. Smile, they say. Make friends. Have goals. Devalue money. Give away. Say thank you. Avoid comparisons. Exercise.
Yay.
Maureen's smiling. Doing things. External stuff. How about joy? Look at these pictures for a minute. Of pure joy. Look at the expression in the child's face at the top, right? Let that soak in of what your experience of God. Joy is knowing God and being in his presence. Happiness quote. Happiness is based on what's happening around us, but joy is based on what's happening within us. I'll read that again. Happiness is based on what's happening around us, but joy is based on what's happening within us. Joy is a state or condition. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is constant. God is constant in our lives. Happiness is temporary. Joy is internal. Happiness is external. Joy comes from God. Happiness comes from the environment. When you understand who joy is, Jesus, you know all will be okay. In the Bible, Jesus was often portrayed as a man of sorrows. And a lot of people just stick with that. But I believe he was a man of joy as well. In his life, he had many joyous times. And it's not all about the pain that he had to go through. He was aware of the joy which would be increased when he joined his Father. In Isaiah 61 verse 3, we read a bit this earlier. It will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Anyone feel like they have a spirit of despair? There's hope. There's a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. When we know God and we know Jesus as Saviour, we can be walking around with a glint in our eye that we know a higher power and we have a relationship with them. We find true joy in that relationship. Susan touched on this last week in the peace sermon, that was 2 weeks ago, about the devil likes to wreck our joy. So I think the devil's domain is despair, depression, anxiety, but Jesus' reign is joy, confidence, belonging, security. Joy is eternal, deep-rooted. It's knowing who he is. Do you know in your heart who he is? Can you really feel that? Deep-rooted. Who are you rooted in? What do you do when you're knocked, when something comes up, a problem? When was the last time you felt real, true joy? Shouts of joy in your heart break the heaviness, causing a breakthrough. It's good to shout. Sometimes we hold back from shouting. I like shouting. I like shouting in the car on the way to work when I'm praying sometimes. It's good to shout out when you pray. We all experience issues, but we can react differently to those issues. Joy comes when you're full of peace. Psalm 30, verse 5. Anger for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. Joy is not passive, it's active. Movement is involved. Whether lips or movement of you moving into another area. God's looking for a joyful bride. He doesn't want a miserable partner. His presence is real, and I pray that he will bust open your well of joy. Some of you have been hidden for a long time. It's been squashed. It's been pushed down. Maybe because of sickness or situations or just general things in the world. The level of joy you experience is up to you to take his gift and to apply it in your life. Not depending on anyone else or what they do or don't do to you. Even if you're in the middle of despair today, right now, you can experience real joy. It's not out of reach. So I'd just like to put on a 5-minute video.
It works.
Carry on. Which is from an inspired speaker called Georgian Banoff. Anyone know Georgian Banoff? Yes. So he's going to talk about relational joy.
Hopefully it works.
Enjoying him. Do you enjoy him? And do you let him enjoy you? Enjoyment of the Lord. Sonship, daughtership. Rachel and I went to a conference the other year where we went through, talked about sonship and daughtership. It was really powerful to know who we were, our identity in Christ. If you love someone, you want to spend time with them. Joy is a big deal, as Georgian said. Joy in him. This is going to be a big year next year as we all take this on board and learn more about joy. It's knowing who you are and that you're loved. To give you an example, Rachel and I have been together many years, 28 years now.
Wow.
I've known each other probably 31. And I know Rachel loves me. Deep down, I am a goofball at times. I am a muppet, but I know she loves me.
Aww.
Same with God, right?
Yeah.
We make mistakes, but we know he loves us. He accepts us. It's powerful stuff. So think about Christmas for a minute, the joy of gifts. It's much better to give than to receive. Do we believe that?
Yeah.
Anyone getting stressed with buying gifts?
Yes.
That's
right. Sometimes you get
I get stressed with people asking me all the time, what do you want for Christmas?
Yeah.
It's like, just buy something. I don't mind. A pair of socks.
Yeah.
A pair of wife fronts. Just buy something. Try the following biblical formula.
Oops. Okay. Oh, yes.
Try the following biblical format. Add to your life gratitude, humility, forgiveness,
thanks,
faith, hope, patience, and love. and take away resentment, anger, fear, worry, materialism, greed, jealousy, complaining, and pride. And what's the result? Joy. God's joy continues to flow through us, through his people, even during difficult times. James wrote, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Perseverance in remaining faithful to God. That's a difficult scripture, but it's one, consider it pure joy. Okay, as part of the book, there was a concept here, and I hope it helps you a bit. It's a concept of two tracks through life. So in this example, there's two train tracks running side by side. And I'll just read you something from the book which speaks about this. Parallel train tracks. I used to think that life came in waves. There was a wave of good and pleasant circumstances, followed by a wave of bad and unpleasant circumstances, with a lot of ebb and flow in between. All life was a series of hills and valleys. Sometimes we were up, and the other times we were down. But I've come to realise that it's much more like a set of parallel train tracks, with joy and sorrow running inseparably throughout the day, our days. Every day of your life, good things happen. Beauty, pleasure, fulfillment, perhaps even excitement occurs. That's the track of joy. But every day of your life also holds disappointments, challenges, struggles, and perhaps even losses for you or those you love. That's the track of sorrow. Most of us try to outsmart the sorrow track by concentrating our efforts on the joy track, as if by our positive outlook or outright denial of the reality, we can make the sorrow track go away. That's impossible, because joy and sorrow will always be linked. And the strange paradox of the universe at this exact moment is that you and I are experiencing pain, but we are also aware of the sweetness and loving and beauty that's still to be found. Likewise, the exact moment that we are full of delirious delight, we have the nagging realization that things still aren't quite perfect. No matter how positive we think, or how hard we try to visualize, only happiness and sorrow track remains. One of our toughest challenges in life is to learn how to live on both of these tracks at the same time. During our lifetime, we stand on these tracks, looking for signs of Jesus Christ's return. We watch for the signs and sounds that will alert us that his appearance is very close. We stare into the high horizon, hoping to glimpse a glimpse of him. One day, in the brightness of his coming, we'll meet him face to face. And when we do, the track of joy and sorrow will merge into one. The sorrow one will disappear forever. And only joy will remain. And in everything, will finally make complete sense. But until that day, we live with parallel tracks of both sorrow and joy. In Ecclesiastes, it says, there's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. There are different parts of our life where things are going on. In Habakkuk, Habakkuk 3 says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. Or maybe a more modern version. Though the bills keep mounting up, and the bank balance is low, though the problems in this life are drowning, and I'm struggling to breathe, though there's pain and sorrow in this life, and I feel I don't have the strength to go on, yet I will praise God, my God. I will choose to be joyful in my Saviour. Raise your eyes to heaven from where your help comes from. Here's some scriptures about joy. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Weeping may endure in the light, but joy comes in the morning. I like this one. When anxiety is great within me, your consolation brought me joy. May the God of all hope fill you with great joy, peace as you trust in him. Is this you in the world today as a Christian? Nathan is a fantastic picture of joy. If I've ever met someone whose joy just bubbles out of it, it's Nathan. Oh, so bless you.
Thank you.
Are you seen as a person full of joy in your world, wherever you operate? Are you seen as someone with joy bubbling up and bubbling out? One more quick video to inspire you. It's Christmas related.
Oh.
It's very short. Anyone seen that film?
Yeah,
fantastic.
It's on television tonight.
It is tonight. 6 o'clock. What channel?
Let's talk about that. Yeah, it's that clip really spoke to me because he's getting so excited because Santa's coming. But we like that with Jesus.
Yes.
You know, it says in there, you know, when Jesus mentioned, it said, you know, Jesus is coming, right?
Yeah.
Or if someone, you know, you hear someone say Jesus is coming, have you got that confidence that you know him and you're ready for him to come and to see him? And that bit in the film where he says, I know him, you know, I know him. Can you say that yourself?
Yeah.
That's really powerful. Wow, there we go. As a Christian, how do people see you?
Like that, definitely.
What's the name of the guy on the left?
Mr. Angry, isn't it?
No?
Mr. Grumpy. Happy. I'm Mr. Happy.
Yeah, interesting. I think I flip between the two at times. Particularly challenged on the Oxford Road driving to work.
Oh, I can imagine.
I aspire to be this guy.
Definitely.
When you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will get love, joy, and peace. And he changes your life when he comes in. Though we sell our problems and trials, we can still be a peaceful person. I'm the most joyful person on the planet. People are watching us as Christians on how we react. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Another one here.
Oh, that looks cool.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yeah.
We'll explore that more next year. Have you thought about Jesus' return? When he comes back. The climax of our movie that says in Revelation, do you understand the immensity of the Lord when he will come back? Picture Jesus coming down in all his glory to the collective people. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then all of us who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air. So we'll be always with the Lord. This is a big climax of our Christian faith. It's something for us to be excited about and to look forward to. We don't talk too much about Jesus returning. I think we should talk a bit more about it.
Yeah, we should.
And be excited about it. Are you ready to meet him?
Yes.
There's a picture here of a dad and a child together. The child, I'm scared. Dad, I've got everything in my hands. Don't worry, trust me. The child, okay, Dad. Thank you for listening. Father, Dad, you are precious child to me. Father God is like that. Let him increase your joy. Instead of stress, go to him with thanksgiving. And then head back out into the world and continue playing. Can you trust God to take care of things? Do you believe he's actually listening to you?
Yes.
God can do everything. He spoke the world into existence. I'm sure he can help us with our issues. Do you think God is ever stressed?
Nope.
He's already mapped out the beginning and the end. Some people who don't have faith can look at us as Christians and think we're bonkers. Why do you have such assurance in your heart that you know and love God? But we do, and that's a gift from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you feel like you can't rejoice, and it's been quite a long time since you've been able to. Maybe you're not a joyful person because you're in a rut. But we'll pray that something will spring up in you and release that. Anxiety comes in the front door, and often joy goes out the back door. Let's reverse that. We've got a prayer to read now, and it's a prayer to go through, and then after that what we're going to do is there's a song which is by Rent Collective. Anyone know Rent Collective? It's The Joy of the Lord is Our Strength, and it's a real declaration song. So as we said earlier, joy is not passive, it's active, it takes response. And during that song, as we play it afterwards, I'll tell you a bit more about that in a minute. So let's go through, before we go through the prayer, I'll ask you these questions. Do you love him? Do you love Jesus? Have you welcomed him? Does he know he's wanted in your world? Some of us need to smile a bit more. Anyone here needing to move from sorrow to joy today? Joy comes in the morning, and we need to be awakened to that fact. Mountains can shift when you move from sorrow to joy. And I'm praying for a joy outbreak in this place. Push into what God has for you today. So let's pray. So if you'd like to pray this prayer, then if you'd like to read it with me as a response. Heavenly Father, I repent of the times that I've lived away from you and lost my bubble of joy. Today I choose the oil of joy instead of mourning. Today I choose the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Holy Spirit, would you crack in my heart and increase my joy. Grow the fruit within me as pure joy, and not based on circumstances, but who you are. Amen. That's a powerful prayer. Now let's have some activation. So we're going to play this song. And I invite you, you can stay seated, you can do whatever you want. But if you want to respond to this, you can stand up, you can do whatever you feel led to do, you can dance. There's space at the back there if you want to get a flag. Just any way you want to respond to God by saying, I want more joy. There's fantastic words in this song. So let's just play that and respond as you feel fit. Let's see fit. The joy of the Lord is our strength. May you discover that deeper this week.